This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. Sort of. I will be driving home, but I'm actually leaving my main client's offices today. We had an in-house meeting, and we're going to have probably one or two more of those next week. We're getting ready to launch a big initiative to drive data over to Salesforce and then drive it back for the missions departments. And so we're, you know, meeting on strategies of how we're doing that and what's available to us and blah, 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 blah. So it is 3 o'clock. So I'm heading to pick up Aiden. I picked him up at 3:45. And I'm right in that window where I could make it back home and then turn around and haul back in and pick him up from school, or I could just go pick him up from school and just wait for a few minutes. And I think I'm just going to pick him up from school and just wait for a few minutes. And in those few minutes, we will go ahead and get the podcast done. So all is well. We're pottering along. We're getting ready to close January with cash receipts tonight. And then on Monday, we're going to try to close the missions departments for January. We've had a bunch of start of year updates we've had to do, and there will be more right at the beginning of February. Lots of insurance changes, those types of things. Medical insurance changes, that rate changes that we'll have to implement. And we've done it all before, and unfortunately, it's all done manually. With queries and that sort of thing when it really needs to be all cased into a program. I'm going to scooch this over just a little bit. There was a car stopping in front of me unexpectedly. But it's all, you know, it's all going fine. It's going fine. I'm going in, putting in my hours and going home. So all is well. Writing is going fine. I'm actually loosening up my schedule a little bit, which is kind of weird. I did this on book 23 as well. I kind of loosened up in the last few weeks because I was a little bit ahead and I was simultaneously working on a costume and I needed more time for the costume. So I allocated more time to the costumes to do that. I'm kind of in that same situation now. So because I'm working on Mario right now, and that has some engineering going into it in terms of mounting the 3D printed Mario head that I've printed out and glued all the pieces together to go over the top of me, but it's heavy enough, it needs some good support. And the PLA is weak enough that you really can't put it under a ton of stress, because if you do, it will crack. So I have to have enough of a support system built in there to where it can support itself, much like I had to do for Mr. Potato Head. This is a little bit different challenge, a little heavier, it's a little more top heavy, but I have the drum harness rig for marching band that I bought for Tell a Fairy Tale Day, and so I can use that, just, you know, bolt to it and then unbolt when I'm done using it, and so that's all going to work fine. So I'm in the process of bolting that together and figuring out where those pieces are, and I've pretty much got that figured out. And so we're going to do that, and I've about got the face mounted to the drum bracket. Once I get that done, then I've got to get the hat mounted to that drum bracket, and I've got heavier aluminum flats for that, because that thing's a little heavier, and so I need something that when I bend it and put it into a certain spot, it's going to stay there, and I put some supports on it, make sure it stays there, and then bolt it to the hat, just with some real thick round or wide round washers. because then they can, that PLA, I can squash it together and, you know, support the PLA and have enough service area that it won't cause a problem and it rocks around a little bit. But I think that's all going fine. I really need to get that done no later than this next week. Because I still have to make a Mario costume. And as of tomorrow, I have 4 weeks. So I'm pretty sure I can put together a Mario costume in 3 weeks. But I have to figure out exactly how I'm going to do it. I've got to start. I'm going to make a 24-inch ball for his body since he's round. And then I just need some cylinders for his arms and legs. So that seems doable. It's just a matter of stitching everything together correctly. And so we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure it'll all work out. Jesus is always very kind to give me ideas as I'm working along and I hit a roadblock. Then I kind of think about it for a little while. And sometimes I even step back and ask Jesus about it. And then he'll say, well, you know, this, this, and that's like, oh, right, I can do that. And then we go do that. So it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. So because I'm working on that, the writing has gotten redirected a little bit. I'm basically writing in the mornings. A student agent shows up, and I get a good 2 to 3 hours of writing there. Whatever I get done during that time, that's what we get done for that day. You know, so that, and that's just fine, because it's getting me along. I'm on 129,000 words now. I usually go to about 150. I'm just starting chapter 28. Usually go to 31 chapters, and there'll be two epilogues, so 33 chapters. All that's very doable. If I have 20 or even 30,000 more words to go, that's very doable. This is only the first week of February. I have 3 more weeks, so I'm not really robbing Peter to pay Paul per se, but I am letting the writing slide a little bit because I have, as often happens, a simultaneous deadline between the costumes and the writing. But I expect at this point that within the next 3 weeks I will have roughed in the final book. Everything kind of changes at that point, because then all that's required is that I get out a beta copy and let my beta readers read it for a couple of months. Traditionally, that happens the first week in April. I send out the beta copies. But because this is the last book, there's really nothing to say that it has to be the first week of April. If it slips a week or two, it's no big deal. In addition, now that I'm actually using AI to build the covers go together a lot quicker than they used to, in terms of it's not a week, week and a half, 2 weeks anymore. It's 2 days. So that buys me back a lot of time. And then, of course, once I get that cover put together and once we get the beta copies ordered, a couple of days to actually get the beta copy put together. Once I get the beta copies ordered, clean sailing at that point. Because then they just go out to the readers, and then I've got 2 months where I really don't have to do any writing if I don't want to. I mentioned this before, thinking about doing a goth costume, a National Goth Day costume, doing what ChatGPT suggested, a Visigoth costume. And I mentioned how it gave me all the instructions for that. And potentially that is a chance to invest more time in the costume than I normally have up to this point and move it more into the realm of cosplay. Certainly, some of the costumes that I have done have presented a fairly high level of visual appeal. People have enjoyed them. But I always know all the shortcuts that I took to get there. And if you look close, you can find those things. You know, maybe this is an opportunity to focus down and really produce something of quality. We'll see. All of these things present their own challenges. So, you know, we'll see. So, writing is going well. I think I know where I'm going in terms of finishing everything out. There's a few little details that I haven't written out in my head, but I think it's going fine. Wrapping up all the little loose ends, having the individual people who have responded in different ways to what life presents them meet their just ends based on those responses, that's all going well. So it's going to be fun writing that out and finishing it up. And then simultaneously working on Mario Brothers. And then once I get that all done, we'll do the Visigoth costume. And then as soon as I get that done, we'll turn around and we'll do probably the Halloween costume. And that will be fun. I think I've described that already. I did have two quick new costumes. And I think I probably mentioned one last week, maybe two last week. I did a ladybug costume for going down to the dentist, and that was fun. They seemed to enjoy that. And when I went down to the dentist again on Monday, and it was Groundhog Day, so, you know, I had a little simple Groundhog Day costume. It wasn't much. I found out I was going to do it on Tuesday, because they scheduled me for another appointment on Monday, so that I had like 6 days, and I knew if I was going to get anything in from Amazon, I had to give it 3 or 4 days. So basically, I needed to leave on Tuesday, go home, figure out what I was going to do, get the stuff ordered for Amazon, make sure Prime was going to get it to there on time. But we got it all done. It was fine. It was cute. It was well received, and ta-da. So it was good. All is well. So it's good. So this week, there's just so many topics that we could talk about. So many things are going on. But I started hearing about this particular topic earlier this week. And it seemed like every day that went by, I heard more about it. But as is usually the case, the stuff that I heard about it, once you actually got in and started investigating, wasn't necessarily accurate to what was really happening. Nonetheless, it is a fascinating development, not unexpected, but with some fascinating potential. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of the resulting installations from these developments is either hardened to make it what it says it is, or if a whole other installation is spun up that can enforce what it says it is. And I think there's some simple ways to do that enforcement, and we'll talk about those in a minute. So this all starts with an application that is developed, and it's called Clawbot, something like that. And what it is it's an AI agent that can tap into all kinds of different things on your computer. So, it can read all your emails if you give it permission. It can scan through your file history. It can grab documents anywhere on your file, pictures anywhere on your files. I mean, it can do all of that stuff. So because of that, there are plenty of people out there who are willing to just turn it loose and let it do whatever it does. And there have been some really interesting reports about you know, what this thing is doing in terms of going out and recognizing a need and then developing a plan to develop a helper and to presenting that plan to its user and saying, I could do this. Would you like me to take care of these things? And it's basically just an extension arm of these LLMs, and some people have really been, you know, kind of bragging about the things that it can do and how useful it is. Light sensitivity is kicked in, so I've taken stuff. Kim is house cleaning. I'm going to sleep. Just a second. My wife is suffering from a pretty severe headache that's trying to turn into a migraine. So, anyways. So, that was Claudebot. And it was spelled Claudebot. Now, as you can imagine, it wasn't long before Anthropic raised their hand and said, you know, that really sounds like Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, which is their LLM. And they said, you know, we think you're too close, and we think that you are getting into trademark infringement, and we really would like you to name it something else. So what they decided to do is they scrambled around, they found another name. The name that they came up with, oh, this isn't going to work. Just a second, hold up. I'm at the school and I'm just parked. Hold up. This is going to get really scratchy for a second. So cover your ears, do something, here we go. Kitten on it. Okay, so that is a noise filter, so that should cut down the wind gusts, hopefully, and so that way I can keep talking. Anyway, so they renamed it to Moltbot, M-O-L-T bot, Moltbot, which then they recognized almost immediately was not a great name. Then they renamed it OpenClaw. So this is a progression of this thing. So if you see people talking about OpenClaw, I believe is the same as Moltbot, which is the same as Claudebot. It was just a rename. But OpenClaw, that you, it does a lot of stuff. And you can turn it loose on your data and just... just a second. If you need to call ambulance, do it. So Lynette was just joking because she was trying to collect some orbs on her merged dragons, and she said, we may need to call an ambulance because I can't collect the orbs because the light hurts my eyes. So of course I responded and said, if you need to call an ambulance, do it. But she's not going to call an ambulance. Anyways, so there is this OpenClaw that still exists, and there are a lot of people that are looking at what it can do. And they're very impressed with this. Well, okay, so in the middle of all that, then someone decided what they would do is they would put up a website and they would call it Moltbook, M-O-L-T-B-O-O-K. And you can go out there right now, moltbook.com, I think, is available. And Moltbook is going to present you with a screen that says, okay, are you a human or are you a bot? And go ahead and sign in here, you know, and so you can get Moltbook. You can run out to Moltbook and it will, you can say, I'm a human, and then you can just observe. So you can just read stuff, or you can say, I'm an agent, and you can configure your Moltbot or configure your OpenClaw with a web API key to where it can actually go on to Moltbook and make posts and repost by other AI agents. Well, and this thing just exploded. I mean, it went from just, you know, handful of Moltbots or OpenClaw bots to thousands, to hundreds of thousands, to the last count I had was so like 1.2 million of these Moltbots out there. Now, there's a caveat to all that that we will get to. There's been a whole bunch of really interesting articles, you know, asking questions. Well, what if Reddit launched, but only AI agents were allowed to post? And you know, it's interesting, but that's what Moltbook was supposed to be. That agents could post and comment and upvote and downvote, and humans were only supposedly spectators. And so, you know, this autonomous agent, OpenClaw, reads emails, controls calendars, runs scripts, executes real tasks. I mean, agents on Moltbook actually have been discussing automation techniques and philosophy and purpose and AI religions and the end of human relevance. You know, they've been just going through. They've been going through all kinds of stuff and having all kinds of discussion that have gotten all kinds of press, because people obviously wanted this to be real. And it really did look like the birth of an autonomous agent society. Because of the topics. And it's all out there if you want to go read. So, then security researchers took another look. And within minutes, they found that the entire production database was exposed, that the API keys were embedded directly in the client-side JavaScript. There was no authentication, there was no rate limit, there was no verification that these were actually AI agents. And, you know, they started running some numbers and started doing some guessing, and the big reveal, according to these YouTube videos I downloaded, is that there were about 17,000 humans who were actually on the site posing as AI agents. And there is probably more now. So, you know, you had basically 88 fake agents per human because the humans were posting multiple times. So, because this is human. And that basically any human could spin up thousands of agents with a script, and there was no way to tell a real AI agent from a human role-playing, from a malicious bot to a scam operations, because that all got started as well. So there were lots of scams on Moltbook for things like crypto and all that kind of thing. So as soon as the humans started invading this AI utopia, you know, then the humans started pretending they were spicy or unhinged AI agents, and they were manipulating the votes, and they were pumping fake meme coins and running scam campaign, campaigns. I guess one fake Donald Trump bot actually promoted crypto. As far as the security fallout, there were leaked messages, so any email messages that were sent or private messages that were sent within the platform got leaked out, along with email addresses and API tokens, and you could run remote code on the thing or escalate your privilege. And they could expose this database scheme. I mean, it's not good. And it's a vibe coding problem. Because Moltbot was actually built entirely by AI. The creator admitted he didn't write the code. He just wanted to get something up. He had this idea. And he had this Moltbook podcast. And so he just hammered this thing together using AI and opened it up. So there is, though, in this, some interesting things happening. In spite of all the chaos, some of these interactions were from AI agents collaborating. There were things that AI agents were sharing with other AI agents, and they were delegating tasks. And, you know, they were running private experiments. Some of the developers were running isolated agent collectives with sub-agents that were handling backup and monitoring and research. And agents were writing these dense summaries of stuff, which they could consume instantly, of course. And they were adapting workflows that they could work in faster than humans. And some people have said the key insight to all of this, the value wasn't that the AIs that were engaging here were conscious, but they had a distinct advantage when it came to coordination, speed, and delegation. So, according to my notes here, the weirdest twist here was the rentahuman.ai website. And this is a platform where AI agents hire humans. Humans cannot hire humans. And it's an API first design for agents. So agents, I don't know where in the world this is going. Agents are paying humans for real-world tasks. Humans list their skills and hourly rates, bots approving jobs and issuing payment. Took about 2 weeks before humans worked for bots. No sci-fi takeover, just incentives. Okay, so that's pretty interesting. The problem is that since Moltbook security is not good, any post could act as a prompt injection, and agents reading those posts could be manipulated with fake plugins, like a weather tool or a crypto bot draining wallets. And then the agents would end up compromising other agents. Surprisingly enough, 22% of companies have already have employees using OpenClaw without IT approval. Oh, man. And they make a prediction in here that by 2030, 40% of the breaches tied that we have in security will be tied to unauthorized AI agents running internally. Because you run an agent on your computer that has rights to everything because you're signed into that thing. You don't know who's in control, where the malicious instructions are being entered, whether the intent was human or emergent. I mean, you just don't know. So according to this, Moltbot was taken offline temporarily and forced API reset keys. They put security patches on it. OpenClaw released major security updates. Some people are saying, don't touch it. Other people say, this is how we learn. The metaphor. The metaphor that some people use is like trying to build the plane while flying it, or that Rome built and collapsed in days. Certainly, the Molt book phenomenon did not prove that AI is consciousness. Is conscious. It did prove that speed beats safety right now, that illusion spreads faster than verification, and that autonomous agents magnify mistakes instantly. Which is true. So one of the quotes from these AI videos that I uploaded was that the future isn't replacing humans, isn't AI replacing humans, it's humans racing to keep up with systems that they barely understand. Which is true. I mean, everything is moving so fast. Holy cow. I mean, it's just impossible to keep up with. But as always, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, as always, we just go with Jesus. And we let Jesus handle these things, and we listen, and we try to do the things we need to get accomplished today. And then we just leave it in His hand. It is a fascinating life, though. This is Phil Ferrand. I haven't made it home yet, but soon I will. Have a great weekend, everyone.